Welcome to It's Your Ego, Stupid, a show lovingly intended for millions of spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people like you who may at times be led into ego stupidity, a lesser version of yourself, and a lesser version of life. This show will give you a much deeper understanding of what ego is, what it's doing to your life, how it can weaken your human and spiritual wellness, and how you can heal in each of these areas if needed. It's Your Ego, Stupid, will heighten your awareness of the intense link between your ego and spirit, your humanity and divinity, and the synergy that can lead to the best version of you and your life. Your host is Dr. Nick Martin, a licensed psychologist who has worked in the clinical, university, school, and private practice settings over the past 40 years, while serving as a therapist, diagnostician, educator, and consultant. Welcome again to It's Your Ego, Stupid, and now your host, Dr. Nick Martin.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Nick Martin, and I want to thank you for listening to It's Your Ego, Stupid. As the intro said, this is a program lovingly intended for spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people, just like you and me, who may at times be led by our ego into something I call ego stupidity, a lesser version of ourselves, and often a lesser version of life. Ego stupidity that can be affecting our relationship with our husband, wife, or partner. Perhaps it's happening with our son or daughter, or maybe our brother and sister, or even with ourself. Ego stupidity that can make it difficult for us to achieve, to climb the ladder of success with the use of our potential, and to experience a sense of real purpose and meaning to our life, something I know that many people are wrestling with. This ego stupidity can also make it difficult to deal with all of the inevitable change, adversity, stressors, or conflicts that life is going to bring to each of our doors. And also, ego stupidity that can make it difficult to feel genuine happiness and often can lead us into unneeded or inappropriate anxiety, anger, guilt, sadness, or something I call fake happiness, which is actually pleasure-based happiness, often being used as a substitute or masquerading for the real thing. If things are not going well, or maybe as well as you would like, you've come to the right place. Because a lot of what's going wrong in our lives, or perhaps not as well as we'd like it to go, has much to do with our ego energy. Because this is serving as the fuel for our ego stupidity when it's happening. It's often the unseen and the unrecognized source of what's going wrong in our life, both humanly and spiritually. These are lessons that I've learned from thousands of people, just like you, over the past 40 years. You have taught me with your lives, your relationships, and your experiences what theorists, books, or schools of psychology could not teach me about ego. You have been my teachers. Again, I want to thank you for joining me for today's program, which will have us continuing to look at important areas of our life, or challenges as I call them, looking at why are they important, and where the reflections of ego stupidity can be seen. We're sort of taking a look at how we can understand how we might be getting life wrong in order to help us get life right. By the way, these are challenges that we all face over the course of our lifetime. None of us gets out of this life without having to face each one of them. We don't get to skip any of them. They are like important chapters of our life story. And it is on the pages of each of those chapters that we are writing with our thoughts and with our feelings and with our behaviors what we are doing to meet those challenges. And what we write can impact the quality of our life for better or worse, and will determine what is often for some people a poor life. Many people feel that the life they are living isn't worth living, or a fair life, a life in which people are accepting things and settling for less rather than getting more, or possibly a good life, a life that has them experiencing a lot of the good things that life has to offer, but maybe not everything. And finally, the great life in which we are able to live the best version of ourselves, both humanly and spiritually. It is the pages of each of those chapters which will be impacted by the nature of our ego energy, the nature of our ego power, the nature of our ego flexibility, and the nature of our ego vulnerability, and whether those pages are filled with lots of healthiness and happiness or filled with lots of unhappiness and unhealthiness. We can, in a way, treat these chapters like mirrors from which to get an impression of our ego energy. So we're looking into a very unique kind of mirror. It's not the physical mirror that we see our bodies in, but it's more like a psychological mirror that we're taking a look into. And we can use the data from what we look in at this mirror as a way to rewriting, if it's necessary, what is appearing within those pages of our life story for the better. It is part of my mission to assist you in that effort and to serve as your ego microscope so that you can better see that which is often difficult to be seen by a layperson, well, at least initially. Okay, last week we began by doing that, by looking at two challenges, one of them having to do with the ability to love ourselves, a challenge that involves you and me and everybody coming to a place where we can learn and be able to fully like and love ourselves unconditionally, a challenge that many people are wrestling with. Also, we talked about the ability to form close relationships with loved ones, relationships with our husband, wife, or partner, and so on, that are all extremely important to the quality of life we will be living. Unfortunately, many people are wrestling with that challenge. On today's program, we're going to continue looking into the mirrors, involving three more of those challenges that people are often wrestling with. They include our ability to interact with people at work or play, or within other settings. In some respects, I think of this as the getting along with people challenge, and I'm talking about people that go beyond our family network, our inner circle, if you could say. We're also going to be looking at our ability to achieve with our potential and being able to experience a sense of meaning and purpose to our life. A shorthand way of referring to that challenge is our life's work. How are we doing in the area of meeting the challenge of coming to understand and embrace our life's work? And finally, we're going to take a look at the ability to grow the quality of our mind with truth. That's a relatively unique challenge. You've probably not thought much about it, but as I said last week, our brains don't sort out fact from fiction, truth from non-truth, belief from truth. We are the ones who have to take ownership of that challenge in order to enhance the quality of our mind so that we are able to use truth as a guiding light for a better version of ourselves and life. Okay, so now we're going to get started by looking more directly at our ability to interact with people in healthy ways, our ability to get along with people, and it can be within a work setting, a school setting, a recreational, or as I call it, a play setting, or in other social contexts. I've heard so many times, very often from people, about this area of difficulty, this problem with getting along with people in places like work, as I said. These can be coworkers, people that we are interacting with on a fairly frequent basis when we are at work, and how we handle that, or perhaps we don't handle that. Also, people who may be fellow students that we encounter along the path of our lives, whether we're dealing with it at school, in a elementary school, middle school, high school, college level situation, we are often challenged with our ability to get along with people. We can also think about teammates. If you're a member of a team, whether it's a sports team or an artistic team or a work team, you know, there's a need to kind of get along with people to optimize what can take place as the group hopefully is working together. Getting along with coaches, getting along with teachers, getting along with subordinates, getting along with supervisors, getting along with acquaintances and even strangers. These are all situations where we're being asked and we're being challenged to know how to get along with people. So as we go further into this, I want to ask you or mention, might have the question, well, why is this an important life area? Why is this so important? Well, there's a lot of research that shows us that our ability to interact with people can contribute significantly to our emotional development and our maturity. The ability to grow in those areas, the ability to grow progressively into a more healthier, emotionally speaking, person, and maturity that we can experience is influenced by what's going on with those interactions, with those people who we're surrounded by. It starts off with our family of origin, and hopefully we have a functional, healthy family that's doing things that are helping us to grow in the emotional way and so on. But once we get out of our homes, we are still in that environment of people, and we can learn and we can experience some very positive lessons and things that will continue to grow us as a person. For example, we learn how to honor people, and we learn how to respect them, and we learn to share with them. We learn to cooperate with them. We learn to compete with them in hopefully healthy ways. And sometimes in our broader social experiences, we can get the opportunity to undo some of maybe the junk that we got in our family of origin. Our peer relationships in particular can actually be quite positive. They can be quite helpful in our efforts to grow as a person. So this social arena that we enter into is a challenge for us to meet, the getting along with people challenge. And when people are not meeting that challenge, particularly as they move into their adolescent years and young adult years, a lot of things occur as a ripple effect. For example, work adjustment difficulty is often a part of it. People have to bounce from one job to the next continuously, are often revealing a getting along with people problem. People who are involved with lots of legal difficulties, I'm talking about repeated difficulties, are often show us that they don't know how to deal with authority figures very effectively, that they don't want those rules of society to apply to them. We often see problems in the marital and the sexual realm as an outgrowth of not being able to work with people, to grow with people, to interact with people in those positive ways. Also, drug and alcohol issues are often the outcome of people who are wrestling with social rejection, could be peer rejection, or other forms of non-acceptance that they are having difficulty meeting. And also, mental health issues tend to be amplified as a result of our inability to develop healthy social support systems from which we can work with our difficulties that we may all have. So this is all reflective of the insignificance and the importance of our ability to get along with people. There is so much more I can say about peer research and peer rejection and bullying, all of them having to do with our ability to get along with people. Now, as a result, what's going to start to happen in this area is there are reflections of ego stupidity that begin to happen, that in which our ego energy, in an effort to help us, often hurts us. It's not trying to do that because it doesn't have an intentionality or any awareness of what it's doing. But sometimes we are led into these kinds of forms of ego stupidity. For some people, they become too passive, and they become non-assertive in their interactions with people. They keep their distance, or if they are near people, they don't speak up. They can be quite talented, quite capable, but as a result of issues that may involve lower ego power, they feel disempowered. This prevents them from speaking up and asserting themselves when they really have a lot to contribute. This can also be something that's happening with people who have higher ego vulnerability, who experience in a social context a lot of vulnerability that really isn't existent, people can be far more accepting of them, but they have trouble really seeing that through the prism of their higher ego vulnerability energy. So they hold back rather than contributing. On the opposite side of that, another reflection of ego stupidity is when people who are too assertive, they're too aggressive in their interactions with people. They don't have a healthy respect for other people's ideas and thoughts, and maybe they often think they're the smartest person in the room and that everybody wants to hear everything that they have to say, and they have an inability to recognize that maybe not everybody thinks I'm as smart as I think I am. And that's part of the ego stupidity, because it's at a distance from reality. The actual reality is that people may think, okay, they have something worthwhile to say, but not all the time, and that other people also have something important to contribute. So this is a reflection of ego stupidity, often from people who have higher ego power energy. One more before we go to our first break. Sometimes people can keep too much distance from people and treat them as if they are unsafe. Unsafe as in they're looking at me and judging me and looking down upon me, or, you know, waiting to criticize me or find something wrong with me. These are kind of the non-reality based thoughts that people who are either feeling disempowered, as I mentioned earlier, low ego power, or perhaps people who are starting to have an inferiority complex, and they're, you know, they think that whatever comes out of their mouth or whatever they want to do is not going to be accepted by others. So we can get caught up in that form of ego stupidity, even though we're smart, even though we are spiritual, and even though we are not mentally ill people. We are coming up to our first break. You are listening to It's Your Ego Stupid. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible, as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Hi, Dr. Nick Martin here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page, where you can find each of my other books, Ego Therapy, Ego Spiritualism, and The Two Voices Within.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact, without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your health care provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid, a program for intelligent, spiritual, and imperfect people just like you and me. Before the break, we were talking about the life mirror. We were looking into the life mirror of being able to get along with people. and how that can be affected, how important is, first of all, and then also how can be affected by this ego energy that can impact the way people go about doing that, how we work with people or not work with people. And we were looking at ego or reflections of ego stupidity. I just wanted to talk about a couple more before we move ahead. Sometimes when we are drawing conclusions about people in the absence of enough information, or we're filling in blanks, we sometimes get caught up in thinking we know more about people rather than really realizing we know less about them. This is the kind of thing that people who are having difficulty with healthy communication, that's being interfered with by lower ego flexibility, in particular. These are people who often think that they know more, they have an understanding of who people are in the fullest sense, and so they don't need to get to know people any better than they already know them, or they want to know them. And so they often draw conclusions. They often think that people are thinking things or are the certain way in regards to things, then that couldn't be anything further from the truth. And that's kind of a reflection of ego stupidity, because there's a distance from reality there. There's a distance from reality taking place. And that distance has nothing to do with the person's intelligence, because they can be a quite smart person. That is not the reason that's happening. It has to do more with the issue of the energy that is serving as the prism through which they're looking at life, looking at people, looking at situations, and in particularly those that have something to do with interacting with people in ways that could be productive. But unfortunately, they are having a lot of difficulty with that. I'm going to mention one more before we go on to our next one. And these are people who are always think their ideas are always better than others and maybe overly critical of others. Do you know anybody like that? Somebody who is always thinking that they have the better ideas, and that when others express those ideas or their ideas, they often find ways to attack them, to trying to find what something is wrong with them, rather than maybe giving them a fair hearing, so to speak, so they can really take in what is it the person is saying, and maybe there's more to it that I should be paying attention to than I am. But unfortunately, these persons have that difficulty. Again, higher ego power people in particular, they enjoy dominating. They enjoy being overly empowered. So when it comes to the area of people's thoughts and ideas, they attack them rather easily, even though they can be quite smart. They can be quite useful and make a contribution to whatever is taking place, but it's a control thing for these people. It's if I accept your ideas, if I believe your ideas, if I honor you and respect your ideas, that means something is not right, and I feel weakened if I go ahead and do that. Now, they don't know they're thinking that, but that's exactly what's going on in their head, and there's a distance from reality. There's a non-truth of ego stupidity being played out connected to that particular kind of energy. So these are just, I think I've talked about five reflections of ego stupidity. There are several more, but I think you can basically get the idea how each one of them, in their own way, connected to their own particular ego energy, can undermine the effectiveness of being able to work with people, be it at work or be it at school or be it at, in an athletic and so on arena. So we're going to leave this area by asking one quick question. Does this describe you, or perhaps somebody you know? Does it describe you some of the time, or maybe a lot of the time? I would say this, the more often you see these things happening, the more they are suggestive of the indication of an unhealthy ego energy that is fueling the ego stupidity. Next, we go on to talking about our ability to achieve, to use our potential, the ability to come to know our life's purpose, to get connected more intimately and hopefully in a passionate way to our life's work. This is another one of the challenges of our lives, to work with our ability to identify it and to work with it and to develop it as we go through our lives. And so there's a recognition, the importance of this particular life area is that we are challenged to be able to tune in to get to know our abilities, to whether they're intellectual abilities or artistic abilities or athletic and so on. And this key life area also involves our sense of being able to be active and to be productive with our talents, to be, in some respects, healthily occupied within our daily life, to be stimulated by what we're doing within our work activity. This particular key life area, this challenge, this mirror, this story of our life, is connected to that sense of purpose and meaning in our lives. And this is something that I, when I've met with a lot of people over the years, many are saying that they are experiencing a lacking sense of meaning and purpose within their lives. Many feel like life is just a matter of getting up and going to school or going to work without seeing any real deeper purpose within it. I know one of the things that maybe is happening is how much people are missing. They're missing the meaningful service that they are often rendering to others as well as to themselves. They just look at their job and think, well, I'm just making a paycheck and I get up and I go to the job and I come home. And they're missing service that's being rendered. And that service can come with any particular type of job. We need the service being rendered by people, whether they are a sanitation worker or a person who is an accountant or obviously a teacher or a person who is a truck driver who moves foods to other people. You can see this in the coronavirus. Where will we be if people weren't transporting food and other supplies that we need over the road? I mean, there's a tremendous amount of service that's going on for those people, and I'm so thankful. There's service for people who have worked as counter clerks or in stores, helping us get through and buy the things we need to buy at home, to take home. There's just a lot of service that people are rendering, and it's both on a human level and a divine service level. Unfortunately, when our ego energy is in an unhealthy place, we miss a lot of that. We just don't recognize any of the service, the meaningfulness of what's going on in our lives. And as a result, these are some of the reflections of ego stupidity that can start to happen when we are having a difficult time recognizing our potential, to recognizing or in an effort to meet the challenge of achieving and so on. For some people, this can get into the area of fearing failure. A lot of times people are fearing failure, meaning that they're afraid to make use of their potential because if they fail, whatever they interpret that as meaning. And a lot of times when people are disempowered, people with lower ego power, they have problems with allowing themselves to try. And they don't ever realize that the greatest failure is the failure to try. Instead, they prevent themselves from trying because if I don't try, I can't fail, which is at a distance from reality. That is an ultimate failure, the failure to try. And again, the ego, these can be very talented people. I've met many of them over the years who are underachieving or not achieving at all. And it's not because they lack intelligence, and it's not because they're mentally ill, and it's not because they don't have a spiritual essence to them. It is because their ego energy is preventing them from making use of their ability. Some people have a fear of success. You've probably heard of that, and that's this difficulty with allowing myself to succeed, because if I succeed, what does that mean? Well, I got to take on more responsibility. And if I do that, I might fail. So the person preempts that possibility by not succeeding. Or if they see success, they might be undermine it or explain it away and say, oh, I was lucky, or I got a lucky break, or somebody really helped me, or they just rationalize it away from their talent, their ability, their potential. And that's a reflection of ego stupidity in a person who's probably a very capable and talented person. So we see that happening with regard to this key life area involving our potential and our challenge and our sense of purpose. Another one can be people who are caught up in overachievement. And the problem here is that a lot of times their success and their achievement is being driven by lots of fear and lots of difficulty accepting themselves as they are. So they equate success with something greater about themselves, with something that makes them a better person than they already are as a result of their achievement. Their sense of worthiness, it gets tied in with this this area. And this is often a higher ego vulnerability area where people are trying to compensate for underlying feelings of insecurity, of feeling more vulnerable by trying to make success out to be a means to which they can validate themselves, from which they can say that they are okay, or maybe that they are as important as others, or perhaps even more important than others, perhaps trying to develop a superiority complex, but actually the underneath is this ego energy imbalance involving their higher ego vulnerability. Some other reflections of ego stupidity, a person can become a workaholic, somebody who just constantly works hard and doesn't leave time out for fun, for relaxation, for play, for being able to recharge. Many people I have met tell me that they feel guilty when they're having fun. You know, this is an inappropriate emotion for taking time out to stop working, to do other things with their life than just the work they're doing. And by the way, one quick clarification, this is not a person who has passion for their work and who finds work to be play. No, this is a person who is finding work to be very, very, very stressful, and they can't let it go. Again, not a person who's lacking in intelligence, but somebody who is caught up in that web of the fuel of ego energy, the higher ego vulnerability energy in particular, that's causing them to not be able to allow themselves to relax and to take a break, to smell the roses and do those important things that people need to do. There's also another reflection of ego stupidity when people start to limit what they consider to be important or successful in their life, what it means to be that. And it's usually connected to maybe a career goal that they want to reach, or a financial goal, how much money, how much status they can get. And a lot of times what's hidden and what's going on behind the scenes is there's a lot of neglect of a lot of other important life areas to achieve in. You start to see problems with family relationships. They neglect their family. They're not achieving very well at all with their family, but they don't see it. Or perhaps their health is starting to suffer as a result. People who get caught up in the day in, day out challenges and the stress, and you know, maybe it's starting to damage them from a physical standpoint, from a heart disease related standpoint, and as a result they're missing that, they're lacking success in this area, so they don't know how to relax, they don't know how to enjoy themselves, they don't know how to balance out life in the sense of work and play. And so and they may find that they've been very successful, but all the neglect, all the distance, all the missed opportunities to connect with their family have taken their toll on the members of their family. So this is a reflection of ego stupidity. Another one that often I see are people who are viewing their competitors as enemies. Their competitors as enemies. instead of viewing them in a healthy way like kindred spirits who are motivated in a certain area of work or career development, they become enemies, and they view them as a people who have to be vanquished, who have to be removed from competition. These are people that have problems with sportsmanship are displaying that difficulty. Instead of being able to shake the person's hand and genuinely acknowledge if they lost to them, that, hey, that was a great, you did well, you did wonderful. That's maybe next time I'll win or I'll do better or whatever it is that they're competing in. But unfortunately, when people start to talk negatively and darkly about other people, it often is a reflection of this ego stupidity. Again, a very talented person can be doing this. A very intelligent person can be doing this. But they're doing something that's at a distance from reality because the person who they're competing with is not really their enemy. They're just a person who is embracing a similar path along which they want to achieve in their life. So as we leave this particular important life area, this life's work area, this ability to work with your potential and to grow and develop it and to embrace it and to experience a sense of passion within your life, does any of this ego stupidity reflect or describe you, or does it describe anybody that you know? And is it something that's happening some of the time, or perhaps a lot of the time? The more often it's happening, and the more those symptoms, those reflections are occurring when we look into that mirror, the stronger the indication that there is this ego stupidity that's being rooted in unhealthy ego energy. We are now coming up on our second break. This is Dr. Nick, and I'll see you after the break.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, Dr. Nick here. I want to invite you to visit my website, egoandspirit.info, where you can find lots of information on ego, and download your free ebook copy of It's Your Ego Stupid, Fix It to Fix Your Life. Also, please visit the shop page, where you can find focused ego meditations that can help you know whether you are truly speaking with your voice in your life, or ego is speaking for you.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's Your Ego Stupid. This is Dr. Nick, and this is a program for people that are spiritual, intelligent, and imperfect people, just like you and I. We're going to go on now to the third mirror, the third chapter of our life story during today's program. This one in particular has to do with our ability to grow our mind with truth. You probably have never maybe heard of this being an important aspect of life, an important area of life. But as I have worked through my career, I've seen how important it is for people to gain and be connected to truth, both in the human sense and in the divine sense. That it's a very powerful need and an important, very important challenge. It relates to something I mentioned last week, and is that our brain, despite how incredible and miraculous a tool that it is, and which it serves us in our life with, does not have the ability to screen out, to filter out, to tell us the difference between truth and false belief, fact and fiction, reality and non-reality. It really is our job. It's our task. It is our challenge to develop a quality that says, I'm going to both have a thirst for the things that I don't know and have the ability to remove the things that I no longer believe to be true. And that is an incredible part of our life, very, very important to our ability to grow as a human being, our ability to make that distinction and make the effort to make that distinction. Sometimes people do something else. They allow others to take ownership of what they think or what they believe. Sometimes, nowadays, this is getting to be a very important and very serious challenge for people to meet. If you are using social media as your reference point for truth and reality and fact, or if you are allowing opinion news to dictate or to determine what's being downloaded into your mind, you are allowing this to enter into your mind unchecked, unrecognized, and that's not a good place for any of our minds to be, because it often leads to distortions in our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors that get used out in the world, in our life, whether we're dealing with people or dealing with work or we're dealing with stress. A lot of those other important life areas, a lot of those challenges are going to be impacted by the quality of our mind and how well we are willing to grow our mind. Something I can tell you, which is quite important, if you want to stay young throughout the course of your whole life, even when you get to be 70, 80, 90 years of age, keep growing your mind. Keep opening the door to learning new things that you didn't know, and keep the door open to removing things that you have come to know aren't true. Because both of those are really important in meeting this particular challenge. And unfortunately, there are many people quite intelligent who lack this effort. And they involve people who particularly are dealing with ego's flexibility issues, whether they're at the low end or the upper end. So this is an important life area because it involves our ability to grow into progressively better versions of ourselves. And it involves the kinds of thoughts and the beliefs and the attitudes and the values that we may carry around, but also perhaps prejudices, really faulty beliefs and illusions that we may carry around that are contaminating our ego mind, or as I've referred to as our ego space. And we often don't have a clue that it's happening, but we act upon it without realizing it. And that can lead us into some difficulty. So their quality, you know, the quality of all those things, those contents that we allow into our mind, has to do with the connection they are to truth and reality. And the less connected they are to truth, the lesser the version of ourself that we're going to be. If we are containing lots of non-truth, alternative facts, fictional thinking, unchecked ideas or beliefs, we are setting ourselves up for distance from reality, and that's going to create issues in lots of other key life areas. And the less connected those things are, the more likely that unhealthy thoughts and feelings and behaviors and even physiology that can become a part of our life because our mind is filled with things that are not going to serve us well. As I said earlier, the brain doesn't sort that out. It's something we have to do. I can hear one huge question that you probably have. I spoke to it previously, not today, but previously, which is the question, isn't truth relative? Isn't truth relative? And my answer before and my answer today is yes and no. Yes and no. I'm going to talk about the no part of that. The no part of that is that when people are functioning with their ego energy in a healthy place, meaning it's in the balanced portion, whether it's powered, whether it's flexibility, and whether it's vulnerability, we tend to develop our thoughts and our beliefs and our reality around what is really true. And lots of people who are healthy in their ego energy, they tend to start thinking the same healthy, truthful things. So there, it becomes a consensus, so to speak, about different aspects of life that people tend to agree with when they are doing that. But the relativity of truth starts to creep in as we move further and further and further away from that balance point. So when people get into higher ego power or lower ego power and higher ego flexibility and lower ego flexibility and so on, that's when truth becomes far more relative and non-consensual. And people have all kinds of versions of truth. Most of it is fictional truth, so to speak. It's false truth. It's false facts. It's alternative facts, having nothing to do really with truth. But people assume that it is because they're thinking it. But just because we think it doesn't mean it's true. It has to do with, are we thinking it in the confines of somebody who has a willingness to look for the truth they don't know, and to remove the false truth that they do know. If you're in that place, then, you know, that's a good thing. But a lot of times people are not in that place. So the answer is a yes and a no for those different reasons that I've mentioned. So we are willing to upgrade our mind if we are in a healthy place with regard to our own willingness to meet the challenge of seeking truth. And then we are willing to add things that are true, and we can remove or we can change or modify things that aren't. But if we fail to do that, and many people are not doing that, they are remaining imprisoned by the bars of our faulty thoughts, and we are locked into often unhealthy beliefs, feelings, behaviors that are all basically being used by us to promote our survival rather than truly living. This is something I think in particular when you see people who are lower ego flexibility people. These are the people who are really locked into their version of reality, and they want everybody to come around to it, their version of truth, failing to realize that their version is not absolute. It is relative. It is relative to the fuel that's coming into their ego mind and ego self. So this is a really important life area, our growth as a human being, as a person, in the quality, in the version of life, in the version of who we are, is profoundly impacted by this particular area of our life, our challenge. And Some of the reflections of ego stupidity that come as a result of this is that people often have difficulty growing their mind. They're stuck in the beliefs that they have. They don't question them. They don't seek new ones. And so there's a web of faulty beliefs, a web of attitudes and prejudices and illusions. People who are racists are in this group. People who are sexist, people who are homophobic, people who are ethnocentrist. All of these people are intelligent people, and they're spiritual people, and they're not mentally ill people, but their ego stupidity is rooted in that fuel that's into their mind that's causing them to get stuck on what they know. Some other things that can start to happen when we get stuck in this area. Some people have difficulty letting go of things even though they are coming to realize they aren't true. Sometimes as we are going along, the world is hitting us with things that challenge our version of truth, the reality we want to hold on to. The word inconvenient truth may come up as a result. We're hearing about things that we don't want to hear about. And because we're kind of an intelligent person, we realize, you know, there's probably some credibility to that, but I'm not going to allow myself to change my mind. I'm going to stay stuck because I can survive better. That's not what they're actually thinking, but the ego energy to help them survive says, hold on to the old stuff because you're going to make more money, you're going to keep a certain amount of status or whatever benefits that come from continuing to believe in something that's not true. Some other ego stupidity reflections connected to this area. A person can have difficulty questioning their thoughts and changing their mind. You hear about people who are quite stubborn and are just stuck on thinking what they want to think. They are unwilling to maybe think outside of the box when maybe that's called for. They're unwilling to change their mind as a result of, you know, what is, because the ego energy is stopping them. They're stuck on, in many cases, again, it's the lower ego flexibility energy. But we can also see that happening with people who have higher ego power energy. Because if I change my mind and I come around to something else that somebody else thinks or believes, and in fact it's true, I have to admit that I didn't know it. And that makes me feel weak. That makes me feel like I have less control over what's going on, and I'm not going to go near that. So I'm going to stay thinking my own ideas and beliefs rather than maybe the newer stuff, the more accurate stuff that might be necessary. Another reflection of ego stupidity, but coming from people with higher ego flexibility, is that we may think that others are the owners of the truth, meaning, and that we must come to know it from them, that other people know the truth, and we don't know it, or we can't know it from working from within, and we just rely upon other people too much. People who start to become the cultist, people who are the loyalist, who get into this unquestioned leadership thing where they believe the leader knows everything, whereas the leader isn't really trying to, the leader's trying to lead them to the leader, but instead of a true leader would lead the person to them, to themselves. But that's not what they're willing to do or able to do. So the higher ego flexibility person often keep seeking the truth. And it's about all kinds of things. It could be about love and about the right way to love people and who are the right people to love and who are the wrong people to love and what are the right ways to show love and what are the wrong ways to show love. And they try to get this from some other external source. Sometimes people, again, do too much online, Facebook work or other forms of the internet, and they're getting a lot of junk, but they don't know it. So this is another reflection of ego stupidity. And there's one more I'll mention that has to do with low ego flexibility, just the opposite. And this is when people think they are the owners of the truth and that they need to get other people to be converted to their truth. to their faulty truth. But they don't know it's faulty truth, but they just feel that others need to pay attention to them and follow their lead and do it in a very unquestioning kind of way because they can't tolerate different thoughts, different ideas, different beliefs. Well, we have reached the end of today's program. I hope what I've shared with you involving ego stupidity and where it can be happening in your life will serve as a dose of ego medicine. Also, if what I've shared with you during this program resonates with you, please help me to share it with others. Next week, I'm going to be taking a necessary pause in looking at ego stupidity and our life story in order to focus on something that is more pressing. The program next week will focus on the coronavirus and what our ego needs from us that it cannot give to itself. The kinds of things that can help to mitigate the natural anxiety, fear, and stress that many are experiencing. I'm going to be joined by my spouse, Reverend Dr. Linda M. Martin, who will be sharing thoughts regarding spiritual tools that we can make use of in dealing with the coronavirus. And she will also provide a meditative experience to complete the show. I want to thank you for listening and allowing me to be your servant. I want to thank you, and I want you to have a great week. And please come back to my next program. In peace and love, this is Dr. Nick saying goodbye for now.